All right. Well, good morning, everyone, again. That is awesome, Ray. I've had to make those kind of adjustments all along. Time I get used to one thing, then the Lord comes with something else. And I say, okay. And I ask, you know me, I'm going to ask him questions. Well, why? And when he answers, that's why I say he thinks of everything. Because the time will come, he revealed why he did certain things the way he did. When we grow from glory to glory, that's a wonderful scripture. And there's nothing we can't do. We learn how to we learn the things of God, and we get used to it. When I went in His presence and saw, I knew that I could live like this some kind of way. I just didn't know how to do it, and I asked Him how. It didn't happen over a week, or it happened over a long time, period of time. I learned principles, and some things I'm still learning. But it got to the point where I would sense the Lord's presence, and I can. Most of my praying is communion, is dialoguing with the Lord. I ask Him questions, and He answers me, or we may have a conversation. And I'm at work working, and whatever He's preparing me for, He'll talk about it, and He'll guide me. And that's more valuable than anything. And I love that scripture: the Holy Spirit came to guide us into all truth. And then, as you receive it, it's yours, and you flow with it. I'm so glad that Ray brought that point out, because the Holy Spirit has a lot to say, and He's wonderful. He doesn't stop teaching us, and He makes things so plain. I put the highest value on that's better than any pearl in the field. Or gold on a box. You can't beat that. Okay, last week we were, there was a part she was talking about the welder's flame. How, I think I lost, there it is. I touched on it for the last 2 weeks, but I didn't really get to talk about it like I wanted to. I'm back up to page 111. She's talking about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Is that book right here in the library? No. In the bookstore,
maybe? Oh, Mary got it. She can get you one. And this is a good book. I mean, this lady, I seen her preach at the church at Gardendale.
Really?
And she went on to be with the Lord, but she's this book is a lot of principles that the Lord shared with me, and some of them He didn't. She wrote about it. And I'm learning a lot from this book. You know, that's the glorious thing about God's people. Everybody can receive something from the Lord that other people may not ever receive. And I love to hear people talk about what the Lord told. Everybody's important. We may have different offices and different experiences, but every voice must be heard. It's, you know, what the Lord can show David, And what He can show Mary, it's just off the charts. If you can receive it, He'll give it to you. You know, I've heard everybody say things I never thought about. But that's because the Holy Spirit gave them that. And when you come to me and say something in His name, it's the same as Jesus. And that's how I see people. That's how I receive from people. And I know by my own experience, the things that the Lord gave me, the enemy tried to talk me out of it. Trouble came. I had to fight battles sometime just to even stick with the revelation. So I know other people have to do the same thing. So I put a great value on what anybody say that the Lord give them. And the Word of God works. I mean, it's valuable. Some things He can only introduce through that person. You know, some things He can only introduce through Nick. Because He'll seek the Lord in that area. And because of His makeup, His creative abilities, the Lord will respond to his faith, and he got a revelation. That's how it works.
He showed me the other day that there was seven angels, one angel over each church. Think about that.
Yeah.
One angel. Uh-huh. So when the church was messing up, who's higher, the authority was the angel. Uh-huh. So something was going on with the angel.
Hmm. So it's important. You know, and the way Jesus present things, he didn't do it just to do it. He did it for a strong reason, a good reason. Everything that he does, everything that he says, a reason behind it. And, she said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I remember when I felt like I used to read what the Lord said. Jesus said, the Lord, my Father always hears my prayers. But I didn't feel that way about my prayers. Some of my prayers, I said, well, that didn't work. And I said, but the scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. As I receive more revelation and understanding, I said, some things I've asked the Lord for and it hadn't happened yet. Like I said this morning, every prayer I've ever prayed, I was not always fully persuaded. But the times that I made change, lasting change, I always said, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to learn this. And I meant that I'm going to find the answer, just like I did about learning to be in God's presence all the time. Now, the truth is, he's always with us, but he's not always revealed to us. So in my mind at that time, I couldn't sense the Lord all the time, just when I was in prayer or in a service or at home worshiping God. And even in that, sometimes I still didn't sense his presence. And when he started dialoguing with me, I said, Jesus, don't go anywhere. Just don't go anywhere. That time, I remember Kenneth Copeland said, a lot of times people say when they get in visions, they're going to pay attention to what Jesus looked like, and they're going to ask him all their questions. But when he comes around, they just can't compose themselves. But this time, the time I'm thinking about, in 1990, when the Lord came to me, I was worshiping God, and he came. And I said, Jesus, don't go in there. I got questions I want to ask. The thing that made the difference is he had me to study the Word. Five chapters. He said, study five chapters in the morning, five in the middle of the day, and five at night. And I had been doing that about 3 months. So this would have been around January or December. But in October, the Lord told me to study like that. This may have been 91, because he told me that October 1990. 3 months later, I was in his presence, and I said, don't go anywhere. And I asked him my questions, and he answered me in a way I could receive. And I asked him some more questions, and he answered them. And I was paying attention. I didn't want him to leave. I said, this is good. I want to keep doing this. So I stayed up late dialoguing with the Lord. I went to sleep. I got up the next day, and I praised God and worshiped him, prayed in the Holy Spirit, and then I started talking, and he started talking some more. So I didn't want to do anything to interrupt the relationship. So when this happened, what gave me the stamina in his presence to even ask questions like that was the Word of God. So I realized over time that that was a key thing to sense in his presence, receiving his word, a healthy intake of the word. A lot of times Christians, they receive the word, they get that problem solved, and they kind of go on to something else. They never trap the word in their heart in certain areas. Some things stick, some things don't. And Pastor said, that's why we have faith accidents. But we can receive his word and keep it. And then receive more and keep that. And never go, Ray said, grow from glory to glory. When I was praising God before he spoke to me, that was a glory, because I would enter his presence sometimes, and I was aware of his presence sometimes. But I had to leave that and learn to stay in his presence all the time. But I still didn't go by whether I sensed his presence or not. The Lord can control whether we sense his presence or whether we don't. And if I sensed his presence all the time, I may not have studied like I did. I may have thought that would have been enough, but that's, you still have to study and receive the word, because the just shall live by his faith, not his experience. And the only way to live by faith is to receive the word, because faith begins where the word of God, where the will of God is known. So a healthy intake of the word is key to receive, to living in his glory. So as I receive the word, I hold on to it, and he's worthy of the praise. I'm going to praise and worship him. And I can sense things in the spirit when I'm in his presence, and I know it. And sometimes when I may just be minding my own business and I sense things. All of us can do these treacherous things. All of us can live in his presence. And our prayers avail much anyway. All the time, even if we don't realize it. But the word of God gives us the faith, and then the Holy Spirit guides us to whatever's the problem. He'll guide us to, he'll show us, okay, this is the problem. Operate in kindness. Operate in my love. That's a key thing too. Because when we walk in the love of God, when we walk in forgiveness, and perfect love cast out fear. That's key, because you're attracting the Holy Spirit. Amen. By your love and in your obedience, the love of God, loving people, forgiving people. Those are things that attract the Holy Spirit, having faith in him. Now, doubt has to be driven out, and that's where the word comes in. Just like perfect love cast out fear, revelation of God's word cast out doubt and unbelief. And then you say, well, I never experienced that before. I'm not skilled in that area. That's not a problem. The Holy Spirit is. He'll take up the slack, but he'll help you receive the skills you need.
And changing your mindset that you can do it.
Yeah. And, you know, you look around. Other people may not be doing what you're stepping into. But that's not a problem. You've been made the light of the world. And they'll catch up later. And some of them will catch on and do better. And that's what you want. I've seen people, they want to be God's best. I want to be God's worst. I want to thoroughly please him, do all this in his heart, and I want everybody else to do better. Because my chances are higher when everybody else do better. And it's just the love of God. You know, that's the way it works. I thrive to see people, especially young people, if they hear us, our testimony, we're pioneering things, and we're teaching them what we learn, they can receive what we've taken us years to understand in a few hours. And then they'll start going, and you'll see them doing things that we didn't never think about. And I've seen it in my own children. Shira had Crohn's disease, and I kept praying about Crohn's. And I used to have to buy her medicine and everything every month. Her mother would buy it one month, and I'd buy it the next. And I was praying earnestly about that. And one day, the pastor had a word of knowledge about a stomach condition. Well, she came up and received prayer. Now, I didn't know. I was used to her having a stomach problem. So I'm glad she went up and got prayer. But a season went by. And she didn't come over for about 2 or 3 months regularly like she normally, you know, she started working. Well, that fall, I was talking to her. I said, well, how you been feeling, Shire? She said, fine. And I said, well, what about your medicine? I said, you been taking medicine? She said, no. She didn't need them. I said, you done got healed.
Amen.
She had an outbreak. They did a colonoscopy again. They couldn't find Crohn's. And they did three within a 2-year period. But July, she had, she was getting ready to start college. She had about a month out. So she wanted an operation on her colon. They were going to cut a section out that had scar tissue. And it was, you know, I didn't want to, really wanted to have it, but she was adamant about getting that surgery, and she's 19. She's old enough to demand it, so she got it. And I said, well, Lord, since she's having the surgery, I prayed with her. I said, let's pray that you have a speedy recovery. They did the surgery Monday night. by the time I woke up Monday morning, she had texted me and told me what kind of car she wanted me to buy. I'm like, this girl's feeling good. She just had surgery. I left late that night. And then I went to see her that day, and every day I went to see her. Well, Thursday said she could eat fruit, so I brought her some fruit. By the time I got there Friday, she had already eaten waffles and bacon. And she acted like it was normal. she received her healing. She came over yesterday so I could put a cooler tank on the car. Alicia said, "How you been doing?" She said, "Fine." She said, "What you been eating?" She said, "I can eat anything." Children can, you know, my mind wouldn't have ran that fast, even though I love God. But to her, it's normal. She grew up here. She was raised in this church. She came at a young age, and she learned faith. The next generation expect them to do greater. Jesus said, "He that believes will do greater works than me." So when we grow from glory to glory, we can live there until the next change, and we can stay there. We're not living by no means. And now, let's see if I can get this one in. She said, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God honors the prayers of the righteous, especially when fervency of desire accompanies it. David knew that if he regarded iniquity in his heart, God would not hear it. When we pray to a holy God, we must approach him with clean hands and a pure heart." Now, I said last week, sometimes in order to repent, you have to change, it takes skill. You learn things from the word and you overcome it, But God knows when you're sincere, God can work with you. And he can train you. You're trainable when you're sincere with him, when you're willing to be obedient. But she said, "We also must have an intensity of desire, like the flame of a welding torch, that will melt what it touches. Then we can expect to receive what we need from God." When you will not be denied, when you will receive this knowledge, it looks like you'll never receive. It looks like it'll never work. But when you say, "I'm going to learn this," whenever I did that, I always learned something from the Lord. It didn't happen in one day. Sometimes, with God, anything is possible. Some things I had to work through, but I kept after him about it until I got it. And sometimes he would show me a simple reason why it wasn't happening and I could deal with it. But always, she said, "We also must have an intensity of desire, like the blue flame of a welding torch." Now, that means a lot to me because when bolts are, they can be rusted together so tight that you have to cut them out. And we get what we call the blue wrench. We get them torches, and that stubborn metal just falls off like butter, literally. Whatever metal that may break, we can heat it up and bend it to the shape we want. Aluminum, steel, even highest tensile steel. We can, yeah.
Anything.
And then we can reharden it. We put it back in oil, and it quenches, and it's hardened again. Your desire for what you want or what you need, it's not receiving. Sometimes receiving things is what we want. But the Lord will show you how to prosper, how to go forward, how to keep what he gives. Because not only do we have to receive it, but we have to keep. The enemy will try to steal whatever we have, whether it's healing or possessions. Even thoughts, things that God teaches. You can receive something. When you receive from the Lord, just expect your life to forever grow in that area. Because God, with him, all things are possible. It's not about who you are.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make an analogy of the blowtorch on the wrench, on the rusted bolt, what would you say is the fuel for that torch that blows away the rust from the things we're trying to
that oxygen and accelerate. You know, that's what comes through, and it burns hot. That's what the Word of God do in our heart. We receive the Word in our heart. It's just like when you speak the Word of God, it's like that. It's the same thing as that torch. It'll melt your problems. You can speak to your future. You can speak to situations. And we want people to, sometimes when it involves people, we want people to change. But with that, the Lord will show you how to change in your own heart and deal with them. Okay, you can expect the best when you, he'll show you, you know, whatever you need, he got you. All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray for this country. I pray that you bless the best people in this midterm election to be voted in.
Amen.
And the wicked to be voted out. That you may do a grand national revival. Because when the foundation is right, you can build on it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Also voted for